The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, let's get after it tonight. Welcome into Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. Fresh off the heels of the wheelhouse. As always, we're presented by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. 713-CALL-NOW. They are bilingual. John and his firm, personal injury attorneys, they will handle your case. Show tonight streaming as always at ESPN975.com. We urge you to subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play. We're pushing that a little bit more, among others. You can also get the show on ESPN975.com. All right, call in tonight is 713-780-3776. 713-780-ESPN. We're fresh off the heels of a 1-1 Real Madrid-Man City draw. This was a great watch today. This was a tactical battle. The acumen of these two coaches on display. We're going to get into that. I've got Dynamo and Dash tickets to give away, so be ready. Like I said, we'll recap Real Madrid and City. Dynamo head coach Ben Olsen ahead of the Open Cup match tomorrow against Sporting Kansas City. By the way, I'm going to ask him about the lack of goal scoring. I'm going to ask him about Ibrahim Aliyu, the new Nigerian striker. He's been in training for 2 days. Youth soccer tryouts are going on now. The anxiety in the youth soccer community is off the charts. I have a story that you will not believe. It kind of involves espionage. Anyway, we're going to talk about that tonight. Alex Parra, SG1, Youth Soccer Club. We'll talk about that with him. But first, we start on a somber note. And many of you know the author, Tom Clare. He passed after his battle with cancer. And tonight, our hearts go out to his wife, Cheryl, and family. Tom Clare was an amazing member of the Houston youth soccer community and our soccer community at large. And I said youth simply because he was very involved with pediatric cancer awareness, helping to put together these fantastic banquets that many of you attended. He wrote a number of books, incredible gatekeeper for Manchester United, with his lens going way back to the legendary Busby Babes. He had his book Forever a Babe, which covered his life in Manchester, England as a youth, to his lifelong support of Manchester United, love of the Busby Babes, the great striker Duncan Edwards, who perished in the Munich air disaster. He also wrote Manchester United, Ramblings of an Old Red, The Men Who Were the Busby Babes, and on he goes. A tremendously detailed guy. I had the good fortune to really be involved with those details like many of you did. He started the Manchester United Houston Red Army supporters group here, which thrives, which goes on in his memory. You could listen to Tom take you back into Manchester United lore. He took us back to different football times, very, very different, where to me there was a lot more romanticism in the game that was not contrived. It's just the way it's gone. Tom's resiliency that I observed in fighting cancer, he lived way beyond what doctors told him. And I believe this was purely, the man had an incredible will. Just powerful will. It was remarkable to watch him, because as people who have family members or have gone through this, the up and down of chemotherapy, even though you're taking chemotherapy and killing the cancer, it's knocking you down. it's incredibly tough to watch people go through this. It's hard. And I watched him do it, though, with a lot of grace. I've watched a lot of young kids do it with a lot of grace. I've watched their family members handle it with grace and dignity. But watching him take on cancer brought real realization to my life, as has, you know, the constant visits over the years to teenagers and little kids that have it. It really is a, you know, it is a wake-up call. It's like, hey, what are you complaining about, right? What are you complaining about? And he was not, Tom was not a complainer. Like I said, he formed the Houston Red Army supporters group in Houston. He has so many friends there and supportive people. His passion for United, Manchester United, the club and the sport, I will never forget that. And his connection helped introduce me to other people in football around the world and the deep history of the club and all the friendships that he had. I was once invited to go over to England with him, which I jumped on in a New York minute because I got to see the city of Manchester through his eyes. I mean, from going into cemeteries to look where Sir Matt Busby was buried, to the first apartment George Best had, to these old pre-war buildings, to the church that he was a young kid in. It was a once in a lifetime, honestly. And he's got friends all over the world. The adoration people had for him was pretty remarkable. So how fortunate was I to get that opportunity, right? And it was a dinner that he was honored at. I mean, there were legendary players there like Alex Stepney and all of these guys, Norman Whiteside, Brian McClaire, and others. In Houston, he was fully committed to the Houston soccer community dinner where, through his contacts, he brought a lot of those people over. He brought Alex Stepney here, who made the huge save on Eusebio to win the European Cup. He brought Brian McClaire. He brought Whiteside. And he was very committed to helping pediatric cancer patients through his work. By the way, when we were on the plane on the way to Amsterdam to catch the flight to Manchester, and I'm not sure I should say this or not, but to show you how this man was pushing through, we got up in the air and he was getting sick because of treatment and the cancer. And I just, I was amazed at how he could push through with this amazing willpower. I, like many others, have visited him in Louisiana. He's in Youngsville, where he resided recently after moving from Houston. His stepdaughter, Jenny, reminded me, because I have the tendency to float to the soccer side of it. Now, let me remind you, he was much more than a historian, these are her words, and an author. More than a legacy. He was a husband, stepdad, grandfather, great-grandfather. I'm fortunate to have crossed paths with Tom and his family. I've watched a lot of the people's, the testimony that has rolled in from many points around the world, and a lot of it from right here in the Houston soccer community. And what strikes me as deeply as anything with him was what a remarkable, selfless gentleman he was. What a life, what a career, what a family connection he had. For the fortunate ones who knew him, how blessed are we? And I would just say, rest in peace, Tom. After all, you are forever a babe. All right, so let's get collected here, and let's talk a little bit today about the 1-1 draw. We're going to have some people calling in about the City 1-1 draw here today against Real Madrid at the Bernabeu. Interesting game, no question about it. The tactical battle was pretty amazing. So, I'm seeing a lot of people saying, oh, Real Madrid didn't get a grip to the game early. It was all City the first 25 minutes. Look, I'm going to tell you, knowing Carlo Ancelotti, that's by design. He's turning it into a 60-minute game. He's letting City pass the ball around. Sure, City had a chance or two. But positionally, Real Madrid was pretty darn good. And they had to believe Courtois would come up with a save or two. But this was by design. This was a bit of a bait and switch. Because they can't play a pressing game and an up-and-down game with Manchester City for that long. So what I see here is, all right, hey, City, pass the ball around.
And what happened was City really did not get into a place where they really changed the tempo of the game. It seemed a flat line. It seemed very comfortable. It almost seemed slightly lazy per their standards. Now, fatigue may have played into that. But this was, for me, this is Carlo Ancelotti brilliance. Okay, I'm sorry. I see all this stuff. Oh, they couldn't get a grip on the game in the first 30 minutes or 25 minutes. No, this is by design. I mean, totally by design. So now you turn it into a 60-minute game. And now all of a sudden you're getting confidence. You're getting the better chances. And Real Madrid, you know, is playing exceptionally well. Real Madrid's play without the ball, something pretty special. Now, I will also say this. When City has the ball as much as they do, the concentration level of a goalkeeper and defenders has to be off the charts, especially the central guys. It has to be so elevated based on how much possession they have. You have one little lapse in concentration against Vinicius Jr., Benzema, this level of soccer player, you're punished. There was a really good chance towards the end of the half where Ruben Dias cut out a cross after City got pretty casual at the back trying to play themselves out of there. And it was a moment where Real Madrid almost seized on it. And then 30th minute of the game, I'm saying, okay, look, City looks vulnerable right now. And you start feeling Real Madrid's going to get the first goal of this game. And they ultimately did. Here's what it sounded like.
Beautifully struck, and Vinicius has done it. That's what he can do. Vinicius out of nowhere gives Real Madrid the lead. Fabulous strike.
Yeah, you could barely, Andrew Carlson's going in my ear, you can barely hear the commentator over the crowd. Remember when Jesse Dayton, the musician, was on? He said, what did he call the Bernabeu? He called it a East Texas Pentecostal church times a billion or something.
Yeah, I think that sound we heard behind him was the times a billion part.
Yeah, exactly. That was fantastic. So this was a great goal, and Camavinga had a part in this. And by the way, Camavinga obviously was pinned back when City had the ball for most of the first half. He finds Luka Modric to Vinicius, and it's an incredible goal. Vinicius is, I mean, this guy's money. He's dangerous every game. He's going to beat people off the dribble. It's about how you can control him and contain him as opposed to thinking you can actually take him out of the game. And by the way, that's the second time in 20 games Manchester City was behind. Think about that. The other time it was only for 10 minutes. So this is how dominant they are, and this is how very differing this position was, being down 1-0. But it was a real bait and switch. This was Carlo Ancelotti's tactics. And for me, at the end of the day in this game, I'm saying to myself, Real Madrid imposed themselves more on City than City did on Real Madrid. And then when they start to get some of the ball and you see City's got to defend and they don't have the ball, it almost looks a little bit kind of strange in some ways. It almost looks a little bit weird that they're defending that much. All right. Now, Kevin De Bruyne was off. I'm writing notes down at home while I'm watching the game so I can rejig my memory when I get in here. And I'm looking at some of De Bruyne's stuff, and it's off. I mean, he's overhitting things. And then, lo and behold, Kevin De Bruyne then finds the equalizer. And this comes in the 67th minute. It comes off very good pressure as a team from Real Madrid. I think Rodri had a big part of that. And then this thing jumps off his foot like a laser.
Grealish, Gundogan, De Bruyne! There's the equalizer! Sweetly struck by Kevin De Bruyne! The cream rises to the top at this stage of the Champions League.
713-780-3776, weigh in tonight here on this. This was a classic today. It sets up a great second leg in Manchester. A 1-1 draw, Manchester City and Real Madrid. And that was De Bruyne's blast there, and you heard the good commentary on that. All right, let's get some thoughts here because, again, I believe Real Madrid imposed themselves more on City. Here's what the fabulous manager, Carlo Ancelotti, said of the game.
Good game, interesting game. Difficult for us of all the first half, second half much better. I think we had a good control of the game. Also, in the first part of the game, when they had a lot of control with possession, and we were in good control defensively. And then when we start to play the ball, we create a lot of difficulties.
So listen to that. I'm not sure every journalist listened to that after the game. He felt Carlo Ancelotti, despite the fact that City had the ball probably 80% of the time, 75% of the time, he felt like they were in control without the ball. This was calculated, 100%. So here's Ancelotti again, satisfied with the performance, but the result doesn't always give you the credit you may deserve.
We are satisfied. Sometimes the result doesn't give you a credit, but the performance was really good, and we are happy, and as I said, with good sensation about the game on Wednesday.
All right, so what a lot of the headlines out there are like much of the talk around the fact that Erling Haaland was contained. Haaland was sandwiched by two defenders. Antonio Rudiger physically is a guy that can match up with him and did, and relished it. You could see it. But he didn't have a lot of room to move in, and he wasn't getting the precision that he might have gotten from De Bruyne. So he really was an afterthought in this game. And that happens. And you know what? He'll probably score a goal in the second leg, so who knows? But that was interesting. We'll come back. We'll continue with the talk about Real Madrid. And and Manchester City. Okay, we got a number of things going on again tonight. We'll have Ben Olsen, the Houston Dynamo coach. We're talking about the season so far. We're talking about the new signing from Nigeria, Ibrahim Aliyu. We're also going to speak to some people we'll be calling in from the Manchester City supporters group to get their take. And we'd like your take, 713-780-3776. And also right now, a pair of tickets tomorrow. The Sporting Kansas City, Houston Dynamo, Lamar Hunt, U.S. Open Cup. Pair of tickets at 713-780-3776. Let's try caller number 4. You call your mama, I call your bluff. In the middle of the night, pull her right back up. Yeah, my friends say let her go. Your friends say what the hell.
You're listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
Hello, hello. That's a public image. That's Johnny Rotten from the Sex Pistols and the Clash. Those were the two who led the punk movement. It was a bit mental, I think, this guy. No question. Cool song, though. Public image. All right. Welcome back. Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5. Moment here for John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. DaspitLaw.com here in Houston. John and his firm, personal injury attorneys. Look, you get in a car, boat, motorcycle accident. These are not times that aren't nerve-wracking. They are. And that's when you hire the best you can when it comes to personal injury attorneys. That is the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. 713-CALL-NOW, 713-CALL-NOW. John and his firm will represent you. They'll work for you 24-7, nights and weekends. And what they'll do is they'll fight for your right for compensation. Daspit Law Firm, our presenting sponsors, a big thank you to them tonight. We also have Danish Inspirations, Modern Contemporary Furniture, over on Fondren. And we will have our Danish Dynamite segment with Jan Christensen. We'll talk some Dynamo, Real Salt Lake tonight here. Look, one of seven completed for the Dynamo here in May. Roster's going to play out. We'll see what the depth looks like. There's going to be tremendous opportunity starting tomorrow night for players in the Open Cup. So expect some players to get real opportunity in this game. So De Bruyne ties it up in the 67th. The power of goals remains really fascinating. If we could ever bottle the power and the reaction that goals give teams both positively and negatively, we could ever bottle that, we would we would be able to knock one of those back in the morning with coffee and have a better day. Ederson had a big save on Schutamani, who came in late in that game. But I think we might have seen a little bit of the strain of three competitions. Maybe there's a little of that creeping in. And look, they got a game this weekend against Everton, who's feeling pretty good about themselves right now, fighting for survival. And you got to really, this is going to be really interesting to see how Guardiola does things. I mean, you've got guys like Phil Foden on the bench, so that's not bad. But we'll see what happens. Andrew Carlson is hoping for a slip up against Everton. Let's go Toffees. He's in there praying now to the Toffee gods. So, you know, we'll see. Stranger things have happened. And then, look, the second leg turns into being a knockout game. That's it. It's over after that. So I give the overall imposition of your style of play today, I give it to Real Madrid over Manchester City, no question. I also thought it was very interesting to see John Stones' role, where at times he's playing as a holding midfielder, second holding midfielder, and then he drops back into center back. It's a pretty fascinating thing that Manchester City does. All right, 713-780-3776 is the number. 713-780-3776 is the number. City in the Premier League on the weekend got a 2-1 win over Leeds. Arsenal, very, very solid victory over Newcastle. We'll have to play one or two of those goals and hear from Arteta at some point tonight. Liverpool, a 1-0 victory over Brentford, so they're creeping up towards the Champions League places, while Manchester United lost 1-0 to West Ham. Saeed Benrahma, everybody's piling on David De Gea. It certainly was savable. But I will also go to chances that they had early. They had three clear chances at Bruno, and everybody were pulling wide. I'm not sure if it was Bruno and somebody else. But, you know, you're always going to go to the goalkeeper, but you could have been up 2-0 in this game quite easily. Why don't we get a little bit of sound here from Erik ten Hag? And he doesn't want to just put the blame on David De Gea alone.
Mistakes are part of football, and then as team, you have to deal with it, you have to bounce back, because it's a team sport. And as you said, over the season, he's the one with the most clean sheets, and also we did it as a team. But it can happen, it's part of football. But everyone has to take responsibility. But more important is, as a team, get a result.
He has had the most clean sheets, but he's also had some games that he's cost him, no question. I don't think there, you know, I think if you spoke to David De Gea, yes, mistakes are going to happen in the modern game now. You got goalkeepers that are really asked to do a lot more with the ball at their feet now. They're a part of the buildup, they're a part of the possession, they're a part of drawing opponents in. I mean, this is a completely different job. You're really essentially a shot stopper, a box commander, a distributor, and a field player all at once, and a covering player. I mean, we can go on and on with the responsibilities of a goalkeeper. That said, you're the only one who can do it like that, so it's the coolest of positions. I don't think there's any question. We mentioned Everton. They got a 1-0 victory, a 1-0 start against Brighton, and then ended up beating them 5-1. Nobody would have predicted that. That was ridiculous. Bayern beat Werder Bremen, Dortmund over Wolfsburg, and then we'll continue on here with Real Madrid and Manchester City today. By the way, AC Milan and Inter Milan tomorrow. That's pretty fantastic. That's another can't-miss watch. I know where I'm going to be on that one. So we've got Dynamo Sporting Kansas City locally here tomorrow in the Open Cup. So you got three professional soccer games you can attend live in Houston this week. Dynamo Sporting Kansas City tomorrow, that's the Lamar Hunt U.S. Open Cup. Saturday, they play Seattle. Seattle just lost, by the way, to Sporting Kansas City. That was Sporting's first win. So Sporting's coming in with a little bit of confidence tomorrow. Then you got the Houston Dash and Portland Thorns Friday night. That's going to be televised on AT&T. So you got three opportunities to see professional soccer. Now, there's a lot of rain in the forecast, so we'll see what that does. We are going to continue to give away tickets tonight And we are going to remind you to subscribe to our podcast on Apple, Spotify, Google Play. We want to kind of boost that up. I don't know what I've been doing all these years, but I certainly haven't been promoting that. So we're trying that. And you can also hit me up on Twitter and Instagram at Glenn Davis Sock. A little bit later, I'm going to tell you about a fun podcast that was on last night. We were talking soccer and sports. It turned into talk about alligator gar fishing, beer, dogs, and a lot of other stuff. And there was soccer, but it was fun. It was fun. I'll tell you about that also tonight. All right, so back to Manchester City. Let's get a little bit more sound here post-match. Here's Rodri on Kevin De Bruyne's performance.
Yeah, he's a massive player for us. Always, he's been great, and he helped us in the moment we most need. We were suffering a bit in the second half because they were keeping the ball, and yeah, with that goal, he gave us the confidence to keep pushing. Even though the first half we could have a shot or with Erling, no big key chances, but good result for us.
Good result indeed. No question about it. Pep Guardiola on how Real Madrid neutralized Erling Haaland. This is a very interesting soundbite.
Yeah, because the pockets, the distance between the central defenders and the fullbacks was occupied for attacking midfielders, so for Modric, or Toni Kroos, or Valverde. So it was a twin central defender close to Erling. It was not easy for him, but he moved well and had his chances.
All right, so that was Pep Guardiola on Erling Haaland. Haaland did have some decent looks early in this game. He had a header that he did not get enough power on. It was a very difficult header to produce. And, you know, look, at the end of the day, this is a great result for them. It's a knockout game back at the Etihad. And we're going to go to a Manchester City supporter from Houston, Angelo. He's currently in Nashville, and Angelo's kind enough to call in tonight here. Angelo.
Hi, Glenn. How's it going?
Very good. Thanks for coming on. I did want to get the take of the supporters group in Houston, so I'm going to give you the platform right now, Angelo. Go for it.
Absolutely. Yeah. First of all, I'd like to start with put a little bit of appreciation for Santiago Bernabeu. Like, that is that's an insane stadium, and the supporters were absolutely amazing. And it's a very scary team to play against, Real. It doesn't matter what year it is, whether they have a bad year or a good year. It's definitely a difficult team to play against, especially with Vinicius Jr. Being as good as he is. And Benzema, just overall, very scary team. And I think we actually did, for me, we walked away with a win. 1-1. And Santiago Bernabeu is a win for me. And we'll take it to the Etihad, and we'll sort it out there.
Talking to Angelo, Houston Supporters Group. Hey, give a shout-out to the Space Citizens, right? That's the name of your group, Angelo?
Absolutely. Houston Space Citizens, and Michelle's our leader. She's the president of the Houston Space Citizens, and I'm a proud member of it, too.
Yeah, very good, very good. And you guys, I think, watch your games over at the Phoenix, right?
Yes, absolutely. We have a watch party over at the Phoenix, and that's where we go and watch the games all together.
All right, perfect. Angelo, my comment earlier today was, if we're strictly talking about which team imposed themselves on the other in a better way, I'm giving it to Carlo Ancelotti today over Pep Guardiola. What say you?
Okay, that's fair. But I will say this, you know, Real did play at home, you know, and they had a good setup, a good lineup. But at the end of the day, who was the man of the match? Man of the match was Kevin De Bruyne. Kevin De Bruyne killed it in every single way. His goal was absolutely incredible as well. And we held it together throughout all 90 minutes. We had possession. We had the most passes in the game. And you know, we had some good opportunities. You know, Real didn't have that. Real was all about the counterattack, and that's how they scored their goal. We scored it with structure. They didn't. They scored it with a counterattack. That's what I think. And I'm not trying to be biased here, but I really think that we, for the most part of the 90 minutes, we had it all together. We did.
All right. So I'm gonna settle a few things here with you from my perspective. And you probably weren't able to listen to the prior segments, right? Because you're trying to have a good time in Nashville till some guy called you to be on his radio show, right?
Yeah. I'm briefly here for a couple of days. Yeah.
All right. Well, believe me, in like 5 minutes, you're back to having a great time. So here's what I said. I said Ancelotti on purpose. We all knew they were going to sit back. But I think Ancelotti was brilliant today, and I'll tell you why. Because he sat them back. Positionally, they were pretty good in the first 25 minutes, which was being dominated by City with the ball. Yet, I think that was done on purpose because I think he was trying to shorten the game to a 60-minute game. So what I saw was City passing the ball around, and it slowly, like the gears of the car just started slowing down, and it was pretty methodical for a lot of time. The tempo didn't lift. It almost looked like it kind of lulled them into a false sense of security. Yes, they did have a chance or two, and Courtois came up with some saves, but I think this was brilliant, and I played a soundbite from Ancelotti where he said, look, we felt very much in control, even though City had all of the ball. So, you know, without the ball, I thought they were brilliant. And then, you know, they produced, you know, we all knew it was going to have to probably come through Vinicius Jr. And I think you brought out a good point. Listen, that guy latches on to two balls that the Eddie had, and you're in trouble, right? I mean, at any moment,
that guy can
individually hurt you.
We've seen it before.
Correct.
Then. We've seen it before.
Correct. So this is far from over. There's no question about that. Now, De Bruyne was off to me, and I was writing down on a piece of paper, you know, De Bruyne, you know, technically he's over hitting passes today. He's not in his place. Yet this is why he's a superstar. He still comes up and produces that play. He doesn't stop, you know, pushing the envelope and trying to make it happen. But I don't think he was sharp.
Absolutely.
So he's not the man of the match unless he scores that spectacular goal for me.
Right.
That's kind of what I saw, but I just thought this was just, man, what a wonderful 2 hours to spend. You know, a lot of times you spend 2 hours watching soccer games, and it's, you know, a waste of time. I'll give you the last say here, Angelo.
Yeah. No, I was going to say, Glenn, like, you're absolutely right. It was a wonderful 2 hours, and then most people will look at it as a 1-1 and call it a boring game, but it absolutely wasn't. This is like the semifinal of, like, the Champions League, right? So a 1-1, depending on where who's playing at home and who's playing away, is an important score for, you know, for certain teams. And a team like City, which, you know, we've only made it to the final once. So this is big for us. This is huge. Real Madrid is an absolutely perfect team, flawless. Now, I don't know, in their own league in Spain, I haven't been watching the Spanish league. I don't know how well or how bad they've been doing. I know that Barcelona is top of their league this year, but you know, coming up on the next game, I know that you know, they're playing an at home game with Getafe on Saturday. We're playing on Sunday, so they get an extra day of rest, and we're playing away. We're playing against Everton away, so I don't know. I think they have the upper hand, and you're right. You know, they don't need the possession to win a game. They absolutely don't, and I know that they don't. They never did. No. You know, ever since I've been watching them, they never did. But you know, I think with our structure and the way we've been playing and the way we've been playing in the Premier League and the Champions League, everybody said that we were going to lose against Bayern Munich. That's what everybody said, first game and second game, home or away. You name the place, Bayern was going to win. They didn't. We took the win and we ran to the semifinals, and we're gonna make our way to Istanbul. That's what we're gonna do.
All right, Angelo, I love it. It's the Houston Space Citizens Manchester City Supporters Group. Angelo, thank you for taking the time. Have a great time in Nashville.
Glenn, thank you so much for having me on.
Yeah.
I appreciate it.
You got it.
I hope to talk to you soon.
Yes, sir. A lot of fun. I appreciate that from Angelo. All right, so when it comes to love songs, every genre of music plays great love songs. This is a Lynyrd Skynyrd love song. This one hits me. I don't know why, but I like Southern rock too. So anyway, that's probably too much information. All right, we're going to take a break. I thank Angelo for that. That was great. Hit me up on Twitter and Instagram at Glenn Davis Sock. I do want to remind you about Lamont Brands, lamontbrands.com. That's where you go to get the Soccer Matters t-shirts. If you do that, you're getting a t-shirt with a purpose. All the proceeds go to the 501c charity Snowdrop Foundation, Pediatric Cancer Awareness, Pediatric Cancer Fundraising, and the Snowdrop Foundation provides scholarships for cancer patients, which is pretty good. more than pretty good. It's a great thing. So, LamontBrands.com. Get over there. Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5, presented by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. DaspitLaw.com, 713-CALL-NOW. And right now, 713-780-3776. We're going to try again. We want to give a pair of tickets away. Houston Dynamo, Sporting Kansas City, tomorrow night, right down at Shell Energy Stadium. It is the Lamar Hunt U.S. Open Cup. Caller number 4, 713-780-3776.
Listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. 713-780-3776 is the number to call in here tonight. We may switch it over to the Houston Dynamo now. We do have Ben Olsen coming on a little bit later in the show, gave some testimony in the first segment to Tom Clare, the great author and great man that we recently lost. Ben Olsen later will be on the show. Also from SG1 Youth Soccer Club, Alex Parra. He's also called a lot of Houston Dynamo games in Spanish language. So Alex will be on the show today, also tonight in the second hour. So we've got a lot to talk about here. We've got a lot of Dynamo talk here. We can continue to do Champions League talk. By the way, we got AC Milan, Inter Milan tomorrow. And it's all brought to you by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com, 713-CALL-NOW, 713-CALL-NOW. You get in a car, boat, motorcycle accident, you call a Daspit Law Firm, you need the best representing you, and that John and his firm are going to fight for your right for compensation 24/7, nights and weekends. It's John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. All right, I guess it's Novu. Let's get Novu on the air here. Novu, how are you?
Yeah, I'm doing fine. Glenn, how are you doing today?
I'm very good. How are you?
Doing excellent.
Is this AY?
I'm doing excellent. I'm doing very fine.
Okay, what's on your mind?
Well, Glenn, I want to talk about a couple of things here. Not necessarily soccer, but the business of soccer.
Okay.
Number one, I've been listening to your show for quite some time, and I think we need more than one day a week for soccer here in Houston, Texas. That's number one. And two, we need, I mean, if you listen to the radio stations every day, they talk about football, American football, they talk about baseball, you know, football shows. We need more than one show here in Houston to talk about soccer. That's number one. Number two, and more importantly, we need to rename your show from the current name, Soccer Matters, to something more catchphrase. Because America is all about catchphrases and something that sounds nice to the ears and what have you. So I have an idea. I'm thinking about Soccer 101.
Soccer 101?
Soccer America.
Or Soccer
yes,
America?
Soccer 101. Or Soccer America. Something, you know, more catchy.
Now,
you know,
I would. Okay, so listen, I like that. Okay. I do like this. This is a great call. I think we do need a second. Show. I am trying to work on that. There's a lot of things that have to fall into place. I think the station would be definitely interested in it, but there's other things you have to do to get a show on the air for 2 hours that I'm working on. And if people are understanding what I'm saying right now, you can help me with that if you want, and you know where to find me. okay, so if you're really interested in the second show, there's a way you can help me if you're out there. But as far as the name, we can't name it Soccer America, and I'll tell you why. Because there's a magazine that's been going since 1970-something, and they would sue the heck out of me, and I know the people that are the publishers and owners.
Okay.
Yeah, Soccer America. But if we did a second show, I think we would do a second show that would have a little different concept to it, and it would have a different name.
Yes, because we need a catchy and robust name. I mean, oh, I'll tell you this. We can put it up to the fans, I mean, to the listeners of your show to say, hey, let's rename this show, you know, Soccer 101, you know? Hey.
All right, so I'm going to put it out right now to everybody. If we were going to rename Soccer Matters in a new show, what would we rename it? 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. We could be opening ourselves up a big Pandora's box here, but that's okay. Okay, carry on.
Yeah. And then finally, I have another point here, more important here. Glenn, I would love to reach you offline because I have some great ideas on how we can transform soccer in this country to make it the biggest sport in North America. In fact,
yes, do you know where to find me? I think you can find me very you can find me very easily on social media, whether it's Twitter or Instagram. You can find me.
Yes, I know that. I know I can find it, but I want it face to face because this is an idea that at the end of the day I would like to get credit for. Because
okay.
It's a transformational idea that will transform the landscape of soccer in this country, in America and Mexico City. Okay, it's not just going to be America, but it's going to transform the entire landscape. And we've got all these things written down. I've been dwelling on it for more than 10 years. And I think if you hear it, well, you're going to be blown away.
Okay, I'm ready to hear it. I won't steal your idea. I'll sign paperwork. And I would love to hear it. And I think this is a great thing. Okay?
Yeah, that's why I'm calling you. Yes, we need to make it number one sport in this country, we're on track to do this. Okay,
I will.
So I'm going to try to reach you offline and set up a meeting so we can discuss this. Okay,
deal. You got it.
Okay.
Thank you for the great phone call.
Okay. Bye.
All right. Now was that AY? That sounded like AY.
I don't think so, Glenn.
Okay, that was Novu.
Guillermo screened the call, and I think I remember that name from years past from calling
that
into
was
the
Novu.
Show.
I love that call. So he wants a second show. He wants a different name in Soccer Matters, which I've already been thinking about this because it's a different concept. So I think we do need more soccer talk here because, you know, if we were doing a show on Thursdays, we could begin to preview some of the matches on the weekend. We could get ahead of things. We could do a little bit more prediction. All right, now we're going to switch gears. That was a great call. We appreciate that. Now we're going to switch gears here to the Houston Dynamo. The Dynamo coming off what was a 0-0 draw against Real Salt Lake at home. Steve Clark shining in goal, certainly the man of the match. The Dynamo had chances through the likes of Amin Bassi, Corey Baird, Coco Carrasquilla, Hector Herrera. But we have to be honest here. These guys do not have a track record of a lot of goals scored. Coco Carrasquilla, 3 shots in the game. Bossy, 3. They got into good scoring positions. They had chances in this game. I don't think there is any question about it. But if you look at the past, Amin Bossy, since 2021, has had 2 goals, both at Barnsley in the English Championship. Corey Baird has had 5 goals since 2021. He had 8 as a rookie in 2018. But he's not scoring goals as of late. Coco Carrasquilla has only had 5 goals since 2020 in 88 games. 1 goal in 38 for Panama. Hector Herrera didn't have a goal at Atletico Madrid. 26 at Porto and 164. A little difference in Portugal and La Liga. But I guess what I'm saying is, maybe our expectations, you know, in fairness to these players, this is not their number one skill, and they're getting put into the positions of trying to be goal scorers. All right, Josh is on the line, 713-780-3776. Josh has something to say about the Dynamo lack of scoring. What's up, Josh?
Hey, Glenn. Before I even get into the Dynamo scoring, I also just wanted to offer my own tribute to Tom Clair. I'm a member of Houston Red Army. Got to know Tom pretty well. Actually went over and watched the World Cup final with him over in Louisiana, which was really glad I got a chance to do that. But anyways, for people who don't know Tom Clair, he really was really instrumental not only to Manchester United community here in Houston, but really to soccer in general. And so a lot of the stuff that we see going on in Houston, for anyone who shows up to our bar where on Houston Avenue where the Houston Red Army meets, we're there because of Tom. And like you said, that guy was just not only was he great for soccer, he was just a great man in general. So I just also wanted to say my own kind of words of thanks to Tom, and we're going to miss him a lot.
Yeah, we are. That was great, Josh. Carry on.
Talking about the Dynamo, I'm also a member of Texan Army, one of the supporters groups at pretty much every one of the matches. And when we're talking about, okay, where we are now versus where we are in the past, and it's like, okay, well, we're undefeated at home, which is fantastic. We seem to be a better team than in the past. But like you said, we're not scoring. And now the good thing about it is I think we're managing to go and win games off of penalties or draw games where we're not scoring as a result of a more cohesive team this year. But this is not sustainable, especially as, you know, Ben Olsen and Pat Onstad have both said that the goal is we should be making the playoffs this year. And right now it seems like pretty much the only way that we can score is off penalties. And obviously we can't be getting penalties each day. Now, the thing is, Ben Olsen specifically said that this wasn't going to be a, you know, flashy type, you know, team, that wasn't his style, that he was going to try to have attack oriented. But from the beginning, he said, no, well, we're going to be gritty. We're going to defend, which I think that we've seen. But I guess my question is, and to be quite honest, I was pretty skeptical about Ben Olsen from the beginning. I'm hoping to be proven wrong. Do you think that we have the players right now in order to actually produce goals to make it into the playoffs?
Well, did you hear what I just said about the guys that are in goal-scoring positions for the Dynamo and how they've produced in their careers as of late? Bossy has...
Well, and so like...
I'll take the four penalties away from...
I'm guessing that's a no, then.
Yeah. I'll take the four penalties away from Bossy. Now, the good news is you got a guy who can take penalties. There's no doubt about it. Okay, but he's got one goal in the run of play. Outside of this year with the Dynamo, he had two goals since 2021. They were at Barnsley. Corey Baird has five goals since 2021. Coco Carrasquilla, one goal for Panama in 38 games, five goals since 2020. So Hector Herrera didn't have any goals at Atletico Madrid. He's really pushing here in a higher position, so he has two goals. But I guess, you know, and I will ask Ben Olsen this in the interview, if we're expecting too much out of these players, in fairness to them, right? These are not finishers. Yes, will they produce goals, the odd goals? Yes. I mean, unless somebody emerges out of this group, or you change your tactics, or the new Nigerian striker comes in and can really produce. Now, remember, he's an under-22 initiative guy. You know, look, I don't think chance creation was a problem in the game against Real Salt Lake. There were real clean chances, and the Dynamo needed to take them to produce points. But, you know, you have a very inverted team, so everything comes central. The Dynamo don't earn a lot of corners. They only had four to Real Salt Lake's nine. Now, think about that, because in this game, the Dynamo had far more possession than Real Salt Lake, yet only produced four corners. That means you don't get Hector Herrera on the corners only four times to Real Salt Lake's nine. 14 crosses to 30 for Real Salt Lake tells you their wide game was more. And again, that's with little possession. You know, I don't think Hector Herrera can be expected to do everything. And I think your word sustainable over the course of a long season is a really, really good word that you came up with. Now, the Ben Olsen interview is going to talk about the stages of the season. In the summer, you have a transfer window. You can always boost your team there. What will happen with Sebas? Can he be revived? Will he be a part of it? Does Thoril Farson come into this? I don't know, but you're right. It can't be sustainable like this forever. And the Dynamo are a better team. They're a better possession team. They're better as in team shape because of the possession, but they're not lethal and they're not scary in attack. That's it.
Yeah.
All right.
And the thing is, I have to believe that.
Make it quick, Josh. Josh, make it quick because I'm up on a commercial break. Make it quick.
Okay, sure. I'm just saying, I think Ben and Pat both see these, and that's why I don't always understand the moves that we're making. I would just ask, whenever you have the conversation with Ben Olsen, could you also ask him how the new analytics, the SRC football, is playing into their decisions? I'd be interested to hear how they're using that.
Trust me, they're looking at data, and they're looking at all of that. I've asked that before. We'll take a break. Thank you, Josh. Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5, Daspit Law Firm.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn. But hurry, these offers won't last forever. Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.